calling the Office of the Strong Commitment. This is Rob. Can I help you?
Yeah, hi, Rob. Bob Adams for Jackie Beckerman.
Okay, hold on one second, Bob. Let me see if she's available.
Hello, this is Jackie.
Hi, Jackie Beckerman. Bob Adams.
Hey, Bob.
How's it going?
How are you? I'm okay. How are you doing?
I'm okay. A couple of things I wanted to ask you about.
Sure. Did you be able yesterday to reach out to Kevin Coffey?
I left him a voicemail last week, and again, two voicemails last week, one on right after we spoke and when you gave me his number, and then again on Friday. No, I haven't heard from him.
Yeah, but I'm sorry. I thought it was clear he was out of town.
Yeah, he is. I know. That's why I said I just left him a message and told him when he gets back in town to give me a call. That's all.
Okay,
so I'm not bringing that up today.
Okay.
And we'll
see. I didn't want you to think he was late yet. So.
No, I don't. No, I was hopeful that he would give me a call at least so I could, you know,
yeah,
we could speak. But
I'll reach out.
But if he wants to wait until he's fully returned in the office and give me a call, well, that's, I guess, no, there's no hurry here, right?
Well, but he did suggest even seeing you this afternoon, so I do agree.
He doesn't get in until, I don't believe he's back until tomorrow.
Oh, okay.
I thought it was the 23rd, but regardless, I think his voicemail says he's back on the 23rd.
Okay.
I told you I'll speak with him first and determine whether or not he's going to be the advocate that you say he's going to be. Barring that, I'm going to ask you to make an appointment for me at the dental clinic, preferably with Boynton. If he's still, because I'd really like, I need to have a post, I have to have oral surgery and have a post installed for a tooth that was extracted.
Absolutely. Can you tell me who you wanted, Boynton?
Boynton, yeah. I know he's
I don't know. I have to be honest, I don't know the individuals at the.
Yeah, well, he's a professor and he's a qualified oral surgeon.
So listen, I don't know if he's still there. In case there's any issue that he's not, my neighbor is one of the lead people over there, and I will ask who would they want their family to see.
Okay. I just don't, yeah.
That's always how I ask, who would you want your family to go to? But I'll try for Boynton.
Fine. As long as they're a qualified oral surgeon and not a third year resident practicing.
Of course. Can I just ask, and what is it you need to have done in case they ask me?
I need to have a post installed,
for
an implant, yeah.
For implant.
Yeah.
But you have someone else doing the implant, or do you need someone to do the implant?
I need someone to do the implant, which means, they have to open the tooth was removed, and they need to, the root was pulled, and now they need to, cut it open and put a post in, and then it has to heal and stuff. And then they can put a crown on top of that. Which is cool. So if you can try and
orchestrate, I will do that. Yep.
I would appreciate that because I'm trying to try and schedule it sometime like the third week in June would be ideal. Okay, sometime in the third or possibly the fourth week in June, preferably the third week in June, so that way any issues that can be addressed the following week.
Got it.
But
they'll probably want you to come in before that time to have a full assessment.
Well, that's just it. Yeah, I'm going to be out of town. I'm out of town, so I'm going to be out of town until then. So until I get back I'm going to be back the third week in June. It depends on how things get scheduled now. At this point, I haven't booked my flight.
So just so I understand, you could not see someone until the third week in June.
Probably, yeah. I'd prefer that, yes. If I have to make a change flights and stuff, I can do that.
Okay, got it.
Which is another reason I was not going to be available to meet with Kevin Coffey.
Got it. You just wanted to talk to him. And now that I look at it, I read the note wrong. It says he'd be able to on the afternoon of May 23rd, which is actually, he's not back till today, you're right. So,
okay.
Like, just by the...
Whatever. It's no big deal. Again.
But my guess is
That's great.
So you can have a phone doctor, that would be great.
That'd be great. Now, one of the other things I wanted to discuss with you is that I have I left a voicemail for Eileen Shineman last Friday.
Our attorney, right?
Your attorney, your corporate counsel,
yeah.
Lead corporate counsel. And
yeah.
I did that because I had communicated with someone in the behavioral health department 2 or 3 weeks ago, and I've been since communicating via text and telephone with this individual, and she was going to look into certain aspects of the sexual assault by Gareth Warren, and where the University of Rochester could have made improvements and could have affected a better outcome for me. And she mentioned that she was going to speak with Eileen Shineman, that they were terribly close friends, that Miss Eileen Shineman is Deidre Flynn's boss.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I know her.
And that she wants to have a conversation with you and me, and have a conference call regarding this matter. So I called and left a voicemail for Miss Shineman, Hopeville, and left a message for her. I left a message with her secretary. Apparently, sensitivity training is something that you desperately, desperately need at the University of Rochester. All I was told was that I would be getting a call back from Deidre Flynn. And the woman, if she said it once, she said it a half a dozen times. And I kept saying, I don't need to speak with Deidre Flynn. I'd like to speak with Miss Shineman.
And that was the assistant? That was the assistant who was saying that?
Yeah, that's, I guess, Kathy. And Kathy, when I was asked, I was like, I don't want to hear from Deidre Flynn. I want to talk to Miss Shineman. I'll leave a voicemail. And again, it's very well documented. It's very well recorded. And at the end, because she didn't want to, she refuses to allow me to have any communication, wouldn't let me leave a voicemail for Miss Shineman, and kept saying that Deidre Flynn's going to call me back. And at the end of the conversation, before she hung up, she said, and by the way, I'll be contacting public safety, and I'll be reporting you to public safety. I'd like to know why now the legal department feels that it's important to contact public safety every time I communicate and try and leave a message for someone to return my call. I called back and I was able to leave because now at that point I was able to leave a voicemail on Ms. Shineman's voicemail. I don't know if she got it or not, but the reason for the call was that I wanted to find out what the position is of the University of Rochester, and how, if there's an ability to deal with sensitivity training, because no offense, I think you could use a little sensitivity training when it comes to dealing with victims. As well as a lot of different departments. And that might be a very positive way of looking at things instead of being insightful and antagonistic towards victims. And I wanted to have this conversation. So anyway, the woman I've been communicating with from I thought she had reached out to you. Has anybody reached out to you regarding this?
Kate
Cirillo.
Yes. She was then out of town and said she'd get in touch with me when she was back.
Yep, she wants to have a conversation. And I'm thinking, you know what? I don't know whether Jackie Beckerman's going to be willing or not, because she, as far as I know, she's not completely, she's fettered by the legal department. So before we have this, before it goes any further, I'd like to have an opportunity. I think that it'd be important that Ms. Shineman be in on the conversation. I prefer it not to be Deidre Flynn, because Deidre Flynn really has already dropped the ball, and her position on this matter is very is very clear.
Right. So let me just tell you what this is not connected with your case, just in general how they operate, and I'm not speaking for, I don't know who you talk to or anything, but typically our attorneys in these situations do not speak directly with patients in general. So I don't know if that is why you're getting pushback. I don't know if Kate had talked to her.
I don't know. The first thing, is that why she calls it? She's calling, she's, there's apparently you guys have a good dossier on me at the public safety department at this point. I mean, that's the whole motive, mob. Is that the modus operandi here that you guys, you know, every time I try and communicate with you guys, it goes to the public safety and then, like, you know, you guys develop some kind of, like, you know, again, it's gaslighting. I feel like I'm being gaslit.
I don't think that's the at all the
well,
desire.
She jumped on. She had no problem and she was contacting public safety right away. Oh, she was, yeah. And I, again, I don't understand the dynamic.
So I have to be honest, I don't know Kate. I know the name, but I don't know her personally.
Mm-hmm.
I, of course, I am more than willing to talk to her, absolutely. Let me find out. I really, you're kind of filling me in on things I don't know about.
I mean, because
so
she has told me that, you know, no, there is a policy in place for victims of sexual assault. There's all these different things that could have happened that apparently did not. And apparently, I don't know why I'm treated so wildly different than everybody else. And that,
oh, it's,
really, it is. It really is. It's kind of, it's, yeah, it really is. And I'm not surprised, really, that you guys, I can't believe it. And the public safety, I'm like, I'm really, are you guys going to have me arrested? Is that the intent? Or attempt to have me arrested? I mean, you guys have tried these heavy-handed tactics before.
I think, first of all, I want to tell you I appreciate that this conversation has been one of our, you know, you at least have been approaching me in a very much less antagonistic way, and I thank you because it's much easier be able to help. So thank you for that.
Uh-huh.
I don't know what the situation is. I don't know anything about her talking about, I don't know who you were talking to, so I don't want to speak for...
It was Kathy. Her name was Kathy, and she was the... She answers the phone for the legal department, up in the legal department. I don't know how many Kathys are up there. But
okay.
I was under the impression that she was the administrative assistant to Eileen Shineman.
Right. I mean, I think the one piece in this that... And I don't know, you know, Kate might be familiar or not, but I think that in our, and I'm talking about our legal department, okay, there was a full investigation from even an outside party.
But there wasn't.
And
you guys, again, this is why I have a disconnect. This is why you and I are going to, and it's going to be like there was, I was told multiple times that there was no investigation done. And I don't see how any investigation or any proper review could possibly be done if you never interviewed me. Just don't see it. Explain to me how you guys can do a complete and thorough review without ever talking to the victim.
So can I just ask, did the state health department speak with you?
Of course they did. But they only have certain, you know, guidelines that they have to fulfill and certain, you know, auspices. They don't have to deal with all the with additional issues. That's the reason, you know,
and
that's...
You, can I just ask also, didn't you take this to the police?
I did. So what's that have to do with the fact that you guys...
Well, I guess
if, why? What does that have to do with the fact that you guys never did an internal investigation?
First of all, I was never under the impression that we did not. Okay.
Oh, no, you were, actually, yes, and I made you aware of that. James Newell was very clear about that when he was screaming at me and telling me that he knew that there was no investigation done and that, you know, he knew I went to the state police and that he, you know, and that nothing happened with the state police because he's a former state trooper and he talked to the investigator. And you guys really did a number to make sure that it didn't get pursued. Clearly. And if I call, I'm going to be arrested for aggravated harassment. And I'm like, you know, this is how you guys treat the victims and the patients. That's the, and you, frankly, you said the same thing. You have told me that you guys have never conducted an internal review. I've got a letter from you saying that it was reviewed by OPMC and that it went through civil court. But it doesn't say anything, you don't mention anything about that there was an internal review.
So when you originally... and this was well before I was involved, but when you originally brought this to the attention of the university. Were the accusations that this happened in the room, or were the accusations that they happened outside?
Because in the room. In the room. They happened at both locations, yes.
Because I have to be honest, that I think is some of the disconnect here, because...
No, I was sexually assaulted on July 28th during a physical exam by Dr. Gareth Warren at the University of Rochester. 2 weeks later, he began stalking and harassing me over the course of 2 weeks, until the point that he came to my home uninvited and sexually assaulted me at my home. I've never had any relationship. I've never had any conversations. I have had no personal interactions with Dr. Warren whatsoever.
So can I just ask you, with what you just told me...
So are you saying... Wait. I want to get clear on something here. Is your idea or your position and the university's position or your position that there was no sexual contact at the on the university property, that I have some sort of, like, you know, what did I sprinkle him with, fairy dust or something, so that he would come over to my house? Does that... I got to ask you, even if I did... Does that make it right? What if I had, like, whispered little love notes, like, during the physical exam? I told him how much I loved him and kissed him on his ear, and then wrote my phone number in the dirt on the windshield of his car. Do you think would that be appropriate? Does that mean I condone? I consented?
No.
Does that mean? Do you understand my? I don't. I have a huge disconnect here. And then you make the assumption that I don't know the difference between a sexual, you know, a sexual overture and contact during a physical exam or not, and what's a physical exam and what's not.
So can I just ask, what was the court case then? What was the $5,000 settlement? What was that regarding?
Because I had this, because I sued Gareth Warren for breach of fiduciary responsibility because he sexually assaulted me on July 28th and again on August 17th. And everything I say is considered factual and true in a court of law.
So the court of law then... The finding from that was
that he sexually assaulted me at the University of Rochester on July 28th, and that he sexually assaulted me at my home, and because of his fiduciary responsibility to me, he was responsible for damages. Those damages.
The hard part for me on this is that if it was found that he did this in here on our property.
Yeah.
I think I pulled up what was in the paper the other day because I just wanted to remind myself, what did they say publicly?
Oh, yeah. I mean, again, it was a plea deal. Remember that. Whatever's in the paper and what Gareth Warren pled to is a plea deal because he knew that he was going to lose his license if he wound up going to trial. Right? So you're up for murder. But you know what? You don't have to go to trial. Instead of 25 to life, you go to jail for 10 years for manslaughter, right? Do you understand? It's a plea deal. You can go to trial, and you may be able to... You can go to trial, and you can lose your license, Dr. Warren, for all time, for forever, or you can sign off on this plea deal. And a medical, you were using people's medical records as your own personal Tinder or Grindr or some shit like that. And we're going to sign you off on that because apparently they found that out. And then inappropriate, he doesn't know the boundaries of the doctor-patient relationship. Which, of course, as you know, when it says the relearning the boundaries of the doctor-patient relationship, you know that's a euphemism for having sex with patients, right?
It does say the state alleged that during the visit on July 28th, he engaged in an inappropriate personal and non-medical conversation with the patient.
Yeah, right. And that conversation, it was a little bit more than that. It was a little bit, like when he, inappropriate conversation, like when he had his fingers up my rectum and he was feeling my prostate and saying, wow, you have a nice, tight, smooth prostate.
Okay. You know what? Bob, please. Okay.
I mean, this is my life, man. This is, you know, so you tell me. Is that an inappropriate conversation?
Sorry. You are hurting so much. I don't have some of these answers. I'm not an attorney.
So he was. Again, it happened on the university.
I will tell you one thing that you keep. One thing I do want to mention, though, the story you just told, and you said that he came to your house and without your consent attacked you in your house.
Yeah, attack, so, yeah.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, I will say,
attack.
Yeah.
Right. So when I, so that was the piece that I was told, and I did report that because that is a serious, serious allegation and crime, and we should investigate that. And so I did report that, and that's when public safety went to see you, and you told me you were that I was a liar.
You are, because you were wrong. You were wrong. I had a conversation with you. When you and I have been going around, I got to tell you, Jackie, you really, you were wrong. And I was like, you were really did. You missed. You threw me under the bus with James Newell by not having the facts and by making assumptions. I gave you a hypothetical. I was, again, we can go through this if you want. I'll play the tape for you.
Understand what you just said to me, because I just said something and you said yes, that is true.
That is what you told James Newell was not.
What did I tell? I told him exactly.
You told
that.
No,
exactly
you did not.
That.
No, you did not. And I can play the tape of James Newell too, because James Newell said that he was coming to my house because there was an allegation that Dr. Warren punched me in a bar, and he was there to investigate Dr. Warren punching me in a bar.
Well, you did say first that he did.
No, I did not. I gave you a high again, Jackie. You're not listening, and you're not documenting things properly. And if there was any clarification, you needed any clarification on it, then you should have contacted me and communicated with me.
That's his job to investigate. So I don't.
No, it's your job before you call the cops to make sure that you got the facts right.
Just the cops. These are not the cops.
Okay, well, whoever they are, whoever. Oh, I'm sorry. Well, again, they have the authority to have me arrested, don't they?
These are not the cops.
They have the authority. They have the authority to have me arrested, correct?
They can call someone. Yes, they can obviously call the police to do that.
Oh, really? So again, they have that kind of authority.
Anyone has that authority.
Oh, really?
I can call the police.
Except me.
You can call the police.
I wish I. You know what? And what did they? Yeah. And then James Newell gets on the phone and says, no, no, no. And Deidre Flynn and Mary Randall and everybody, no, no, no. He can't file a complaint. Not Bob Adams. He can't file a complaint.
Bob, it just doesn't make sense to me. If
you were so wrong. I want to clarify. You were saying again. He never. And I'm going to iterate. I gave you a hypothetical scenario.
Okay.
And you took it as fact. And I said, was very clear, this is a hypothetical. And then you told James Newell that he broke into my home and he was there to investigate breaking into my home. Like he took a hammer and broke the window and broke into my home.
No, the thing was that he was not welcome there and he went in. It's
infuriating
that you're really breaking into a home. I don't even remember.
Again, James Newell said that he was there to investigate Garrett Warren breaking into my home.
Okay, so listen. So I think
this
you
is.
Rehash this again.
Which is.
I did ethically, and I was with my manager as well. We were both on the phone, and we understood it that way. Maybe we misunderstood.
You should have clarified it.
And
then why? And then I, and nobody contacted me and said, I've reported this to public safety, and you can communicate. And an individual by the name of James Newell is going to be in touch with you. Did anybody ever? No. All you James Newell, he staked out my home. And sits in a car parked across the street from my home, waiting for me so he can ambush me, with a full demeanor, looking like a cop, driving an unmarked car. Well, again, part of the solution is.
I have to present the 10:30, so I'm gonna have to set this up. I'm gonna call the dental clinic. I'm gonna get you the referral from Dr. Boynton, and I will reach out to our legal department and find out more about everything that's happened with your leaving messages exactly, because I'm not aware of that. So, and I was waiting for Kate to come back to talk to her more. So
okay.
I will do all of
Okay.
And I will get back to you. Are you still on the same cell phone?
Yep.
Okay. I will get back to you probably tomorrow once I have appointments done and I've had a chance to talk to to our legal department.
Yep. And then again, and have you had, and I'm going to reiterate, had you guys done a review, had you done an investigation, when I communicated with you in August of 2016, you would have already had the facts. Remember that. So, you know, really, so you can't convince me that there was ever any review done or anything, because if there was a proper review done, that would have already been known.
Okay. I'm gonna get off the phone now because I have to go talk.
You go have a nice talk.
I'll get back to you.
Bye.
Thank you.